This is Balance Point. The information or comments made on Balance Point are not necessarily those of the station or its staff. Your calls are appreciated, and you can be part of Balance Point by calling 776-5368.
Yes, welcome to another Balance Point. Steve Johnson in for Perry Atkinson, who is probably already in South Africa, so we need to be praying for him as he's with the UCB board members. You know, they're that organization that we are associated with, and we need to be praying for all the decisions they are making. Hey, it's great to be here with Patrick Doyle, counselor. You've heard many times right here on the Dove. And you know what? One thing I like about Balance Point, the discussions are not limited to those things that otherwise might be off limits in some circles.
That's correct.
You know, we're willing to talk about those things that are just smack dab right there that perhaps in the past you haven't wanted to talk about, but if it's there and it needs to be discussed because God has the answers and we need to do it. And
that's right.
You heard maybe a little bit of a preview of what we're going to talk about. Patrick Doyle is here to kind of reintroduce us to this topic. What do you have for us today?
Well, today I wanted to talk about abuse, and specifically spousal abuse. In my experience as a counselor and in the field of counseling, I have in the past been involved with domestic violence task force here in Jackson County and Josephine County. I've been involved in setting up programs in both counties to help men who have been violent with their wives. And while violence in marriages is not limited to a man abusing a woman, at times it is true that women have been abusive toward their husbands, maybe not physically, but certainly verbally. And but the vast majority of instances that we see are men to women violence. And when I say violence, I want you to understand I'm not talking about just physical violence. I know there are a lot of women probably listening today who a lot of times feel abused emotionally, verbally, by their husbands. And I've also seen many times in the past that a lot of times men don't really get what they're doing. Now, it doesn't justify it, doesn't make it okay, but I think a lot of times we assign a lot of malice in situations where I think men are actually just responding in ways that they've learned over time from their own families, or they're fulfilling expectations that they believe they're supposed to behave in that way. And so, you know, there's a lot of ins and outs. And as a believer, I believe the church is front and center on this issue, or should be. I think one of the problems that's happened in the past is that the church has bought into the lie that the professionals are the ones that need to deal with this. The church is not prepared, the church isn't capable, and that we need to hand this over to people who are, you know, quote unquote qualified. Well, I'm here to tell you that the professionals, quote unquote, are not always qualified. Now, there are some out there that are excellent, but the vast majority that, in my experience, really aren't ready to handle this situation. And I'll tell you why. So let's look at a scenario. A woman who's in a marriage and has children, and her husband has been abusive, and it's sort of been a long-term thing, and it's escalated, and now her ability to take the abuse, whether it's verbal or control or physical abuse, and she's been to somebody in the church, and the church tells her, well, you just need to submit, and you need to try harder, and you need to love him more, and he'll straighten up. But people who are pathologically abusing you are not going to straighten up. And when you submit more, I would submit that that's going to increase the abuse. It's not going to heal it. It's not going to change it. Because the problem is endemic to the man. And so anybody with, circumspectness would recognize or be convicted about the mistreatment of their wife. So when the church is not involved, what happens is the woman is left in a very precarious position. Many times the woman is not financially solvent on her own. She's dependent on the man, and she has charge of children that are dependent on her. And so to separate from the man, which a lot of times in my estimation is absolutely necessary, is very scary for the woman on many levels. And men who are abusers, and again, I want to be clear that not all men are, so let's not, you know, start, you know, throwing everybody in the same bucket. But, you know, women are in a precarious position many times because they don't have confidence that they'll be able to make it financially. They're afraid mm-hmm. of their spouse. They are desperately concerned about the children being hurt by a separation or by having to live under the bridge or by whatever. They're also embarrassed and ashamed to talk about this. And in that situation, if the church comes alongside a woman and recognizes what's going on and confronts the man and helps the woman draw a boundary, I believe that, you know, the church should be ready and willing to put a woman up. Find her a safe place to be that the husband doesn't know about, where he can't find her.
Yeah.
And the reason I say this isn't because I want to punish the man, but I want, A, the woman to be safe, because in an abuse situation, women always have trouble with not being controlled by the abuser. Remember, in an abuse situation, the abuser's job is to control the abusee. Okay, the mm-hmm. abuser's, the abusee's job is to appease, make happy, stop the abuse by doing whatever it is you perceive the abuser wants you to do. So to set a boundary, to create some distance, often feels like punishment to the woman. She's punishing him. And what I'm saying is, no, you're not punishing him. You are actually making it possible for him to get well. Okay, so the church can be a huge implement or instrument of God's mercy in bringing about a safe place for the woman to be, and secondarily, a confrontational, loving accountability for the man. And so what I see many times is that people in general are not willing to get involved in this because, A, it's messy, B, it's difficult emotionally, and C, it's long-term. You can't get involved in these things if you're going to give it the, you know, 1 week or 2 week, okay, now enough of that, let's get on with it. Because these are long-term situations. These relationships take a long time to heal.
And, you know, I can see where a small church or maybe even a large one, they need the correct resources mm-hmm. to be able to address this. Because mm-hmm. their well-intentioned feelings
many
may
times,
not be,
right.
certainly isn't enough.
Right.
Because you got to have that safe haven as
right.
well. You know, I remember I was... This brings back, I hadn't even thought of this for a long time. I worked at a radio station long distance. It was up in Alaska.
Right.
And there's a lot of abuse that goes on in those rural areas there. Alcohol
right.
is a major
right.
key to all
Absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely.
Just one of the elements. And what I recall is that and also a biker group that I was with in Tucson.
A biker group?
Yeah. We would do fundraisers for a woman's shelter.
Awesome.
We did that once, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the fact is, these women, when they got to that point, they were almost in a daze
uh-huh.
because
yeah.
they just didn't know what to do. They mm-hmm. normally had kids as
right.
well.
Right.
And they were at their wits' end, but they didn't. It wasn't like they were empowered at all. These
right.
were very damaged
right.
women.
Right.
So I think you're right. For us to say, well, pull up your own bootstraps.
Right.
You know, we're the church and we're going to help you. It's
right.
almost like, no, you're trying to make a healthy situation immediate
right.
from a situation that probably has so much history
right.
that you don't know anything
right.
about. And so the well-intentioned feelings are
mm-hmm.
shot down the tubes there.
That's right. Well, you know, the road to hell's paved with good intentions.
Yeah, right.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, good intentions really don't carry any water. I'm grateful for good intentions, but really what we need is we need good and long-term, healthy, loving action from a scriptural perspective. Now, I want you to understand, when I'm talking about dealing with these situations, I'm talking about the scripture being our guide, not the world's MO or way of dealing with this. You, as a believer, if you're in this situation, you're going to definitely, without a doubt, need a relationship with God and or church, I believe, to get to a place of healthiness, a place of safety. And so before we go on, I want to remind folks, I really would like you guys to have some participation today, you guys listening out there, ladies and gentlemen. Call in with your questions or your experiences, whether they've been healthy or unhealthy or whatever, and let's get it on the table. Let's have a discussion about it. I really think there's a lot of benefit. It's something we call in the business parallel process, And it's when, you know, two people are talking about something, and then somebody else is listening,
mm-hmm.
but the person listening isn't involved in the conversation.
Yeah.
But yet they're getting something from the conversation.
Oh, mm-hmm.
It's what we call parallel process. And so I think there's a lot of folks out there that have some good experience with this and that can really add to the conversation. And don't underestimate the impact you will have on many people listening.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you to call 776-5368. And we're going to continue to talk about abuse. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And I'm going to have a guest join me.
All
we're
right.
going to continue the conversation.
All right. Patrick Doyle with us on Balance Point.
Call now to be a part of Balance Point at 776-5368 or toll free 1-800-373-5368. That's 776-5368 or toll free 1-800-373-5368. There's more Balance Point coming up on The Dove.
Good morning. Making news headlines with the heat wave melting much of Oregon the past 3 days, the number of weekend drowning victims in the Portland and Salem area has climbed to 5. All the victims were among the crowds of people who headed for rivers and lakes to stay cool from temperatures that reached into triple digits in the Willamette Valley. 3 roadside bombs had to be dismantled to reach the brutalized bodies of 2 missing U.S. soldiers, one being Private First Class Thomas Tucker of Madras, Oregon. The U.S. military says their remains were found tied together with a bomb between one soldier's legs. A police dog sniffed out some cocaine during a routine traffic stop in Ashland, and a Washington State 17-year-old and 2 men are now facing drug charges. Oregon State Police were assisted by a Jackson County Sheriff's dog. The canine found about 2.5 pounds of cocaine in the car. And if people collecting signatures for initiative campaigns are getting paid by the signature instead of the hour, the chief petitioners are violating a ban. A complaint has been filed with the Oregon Elections Division. July 7th is the deadline for turning in signatures to qualify initiatives for Oregon's November ballots. I'm Bill Jacobs on The Dove.
Thank you for supporting The Dove. Your help is appreciated and keeps us on the air. Some listeners do so through their businesses like Hardwood Floors by Jose Villagomez. For quality and reliability, Jose Villagomez offers custom design, restoration or installation and finishing of your hardwood floors. 772-2284. Thank you for your support. And Grace Christian Schools, providing excellence in Christian education for pre-K through 12th grades in Southern Oregon. Now enrolling for the next school year. For more information, call 772-1438. That's 772-1438. Thank you for supporting The Dove.
Good morning and welcome back to Balance Point. I'm Patrick Doyle, and we are talking this morning about spousal abuse primarily. And not only abuse in terms of a marriage, but also how should we as Christians and how should the church respond? And I have a guest with me this morning. Her name is Chrissy Anderson. Chrissy is a counselor in town here with me. And she and I have worked together for about 10 years or so now. And Chrissy and I have walked through a lot of different people's problems together, and we've worked in residential treatment programs together and outpatient. We've done a lot of stuff together in terms of counseling. So I wanted her to come in and have a woman's perspective on this issue. And as a counselor who is a woman, you know, it lends a lot of credibility. I think a lot of times women who are abused particularly have trouble with men in general. In terms of that trust factor. So I thought it would be really important to have a balance point and bring Chrissy in. So Chrissy, welcome.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for asking me in. I appreciate that.
Sure. So it looks like while we are on our break, we had a question that was called in, and it's asking that can we address psychological and emotional abuse in a loveless marriage? And that the caller was making the comment that that's an insidious form because it doesn't show any physical traits. In other words, you can't see a black eye. I mean, you can't see somebody who's been emotionally abused like a black eye. It's much more difficult to pick up. But I would say this to the caller. Yes, we will talk. I mean, to the questioner. We will talk about this. This is one of the main things I wanted to talk about today, because this is the majority of the abuse that I see, particularly in the church. The vast majority of the abuse that I see is not overt physical abuse. In fact, most of the time, it's psychological, emotional, and what I would call spiritual abuse. It is a man abusing his authority as the Scripture has given it to control in an unhealthy way his spouse. So let's talk for a minute about... I also believe this, that while it's harder to distinguish emotional or verbal abuse, it is distinguishable.
Absolutely.
I have talked with many people, many women, and I can almost pretty quickly I can determine whether or not they're being abused emotionally by how they respond to many things. How they view themselves is often a big key to that process. If you're being constantly undermined by your spouse, and I would say this for men or women, if you're being constantly undermined by your spouse in terms of you're not good enough, you don't measure up, or you're in public and they're always sort of jabbing you with the sarcastic cut down, and they're always sort of, putting themselves in front of you in a verbal way, you're being abused, in my opinion. And, those control aspects and those verbal joustings leave a mark emotionally and damage a person. What do you think, Kristen?
Absolutely. I believe that a lot of times the abused person does not even recognize the fact that they are being abused. They're trying to be godly. Okay. They're trying to be supportive. And they're feeling totally, they lack support, and they're run down.
Yeah, absolutely. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 776-5368. We're talking about spousal abuse. We'd be willing to venture off the topic if it's some other kind of abuse you want to talk about.
Well, one thing that you mentioned early on, churches with well-intentioned feelings and all the rest, and they may say, yeah, we want to do something like this. We want to reach out.
Right.
I can see that zeal could be so misguided that they end up doing more damage than if they didn't do anything. So what is the advice? I mean, we've got to have qualified people talking to these people.
That's right.
What do you look for if you want to start something like this in a church?
Okay. First off, if you are in a church leadership position, the first thing you have to do is examine your own beliefs about this. If you think it's not an issue, well, then you're not going to be any help to anybody.
Let me just stop you there. Do you find that still to be the case, that some people will say, we're just not even going to admit that it exists? Because I don't think so.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I have had been more my experience that churches have looked the other way. Particularly, I can think of situations off the top of my head, three or four, where men were physically abusive to their wives, reported to the church, and the church said, "Oh, don't call the police. We'll handle it." To which they never did. So yeah, the guy meets with the pastor for a couple weeks, and then it's over. Well, with somebody who's an abuser, you're talking about pathological behavior. It is not going to remedy in 2 weeks. You must have long-term accountability. You must see the fruits of repentance. And we're going to get to that later. Many women think that if they forgive their husband, which they're being required to by the abuser, you have to forgive me, you're a Christian. I can't tell you how many abusers have said that to their wives. Forgiving your husband does not mean reconciling with his sin. There's a big difference, and there's a huge difference between forgiving and reconciling. And the Bible requires forgiveness, but that doesn't have anything to do with him or them. Forgiveness is between you and God. Reconciliation, on the other hand, is between you and them. And if they are not repentant and they have not shown any fruits of that repentance, then you are not required, yea, verily, in the Old English, you should not reconcile with them, because you would be walking into a buzzsaw. You would be being self-destructive. So, these are imperative things that we need to talk about as a church. So the first thing I would say is the church needs to examine their own beliefs about abuse. And then secondly, call me. Have me come talk to your staff. Call Chrissy. Let us come in and talk to you. Let us give you our benefit of our years of experience. Let us tell you what we think you should do. You can make your own decision, but get some help. Don't do this in a vacuum. This is a very difficult, very important thing. And I believe it can be one of the greatest ways that God reveals the gospel in his church by how we respond to this. It can be very beautiful. It can also be very disastrous.
And we have to remember that the abuser has memorized the passages in the Bible that they can use like a sword, that they know exactly how to place certain scripture to really annihilate the abused person.
That's very well put,
and it absolutely keeps them captive because they desire to serve the Lord. They desire to be godly. And this is where the spiritual abuse really comes in. It's a fine line to figure out whether or not this is really God's will or your spouse's will over you.
Right. Boy, I can attest to having been involved in 1,000 of those conversations, if one, with the wife, where she's saying, well, but he, and then she says, he quotes the scripture to me, or I'm not doing this, or I'm not doing that, completely disconnected from the fact that what he's doing is completely out of context and out of bounds and controlling. And so it takes a long time for somebody who's being abused, because here's one of the main things, and ladies, listen up. If you feel crazy when it comes to your husband, that crazy-making feeling like you don't know which end is up, chances are you're being abused. You know, in a loving relationship, being confused is not common. In a relationship where you're being abused and you're being manipulated, it's one of my rules of thumb. When I'm confused by someone, it's often because they're manipulating me. It's a rule of thumb. So, you know, I talk, every woman I've talked to, I believe, over the years have said that, Chrissy. They've said, I just feel crazy. I don't know what's right anymore. I can't seem to get a clear handle on anything. And, well, of course, if you can, then that makes you less abusable.
And then they also wonder if they don't have enough faith, if they aren't praying enough, if God isn't hearing them.
Right.
And it,
and the abuse is happening because they're not doing some spiritual task.
Precisely.
Yeah. And that is absolutely insidious and wrong, because from my perspective, the gospel says that he's not waiting on you to get it together. God has made you perfect, according to the scripture. If you are in him, he's not going to withhold from you because you're not praying enough.
And what is an intimate relationship? Does that mean that you are being dictated to and demanded certain things that seem unfair?
Right. Yeah.
I think God designed marriage to be intimate, and he refers to us as being the bride. Well, that's because he wants an intimate relationship, not a dictator relationship.
Absolutely. So, feeling crazy is one thing that you can use as a guide to know if you're being abused, okay? The other thing is being isolated. This is another tactic of an abuser. They will isolate you. You won't have any good friends. You won't be allowed to do much. You might not even have any control of the money. I've been involved in many situations where the husband from the outside looked like a great guy, but the wife, you know, didn't have any money. He controlled everything. Sometimes she wasn't even on the accounts, and yet they're married. And so she's given, doled out, you know, 100 or 200 or 300, whatever, how much a month to do the household stuff, and then she's got to make it work. And who knows where the rest of the money goes. And it's not up for discussion. If that's the situation you're in or something similar, that's abuse. I don't think that you should be out of the loop financially. I think that's anti-biblical. So, you know, those are some things. You feel crazy. You are isolated. You don't have any control over anything in the house or the marriage. And the other thing that I think I see a lot of, and I don't see a lot of this in the material that's written, but you're emotionally tired.
Exactly. Exhausted.
I think a lot of women just over the time, because they're always, see if this rings true with you guys out there listening. And again, if you want to get involved in the conversation, give us a call, 776-5368. I welcome your participation. I think that it would be helpful to many other people. But, you know, people in this situation, ladies in this situation, are always managing something intellectually and emotionally. Mm-hmm. They're always doing the juggle. You know, and they're always like what we call in the business hypervigilant about what their husband's going to think or what he's going to feel or how he's going to perceive this, and is it going to be good enough? Is it going to be clean enough? Is it going to be da 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 da? And so, you know, it's a very difficult process. And you know, I can't tell you how many women will come to me and we'll talk and they'll go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they'll go home and I'll see them in a week or two and they'll be like, oh, I don't know what I was thinking. You know, I must have misunderstood. I want to take all that stuff back, because they went home and they realized, you know, I can't face him. So that's what I want to reiterate again. This is a long-term process. Many times it takes months for a woman to even recognize what's going on.
Well, you know, we also, when we touched on the finances and how oftentimes they're totally controlled, they don't even get a vote. They can
exactly.
see that things are not going well in the home budget. They have certain ideas or thoughts on it, and they are not allowed to even put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're told that, you know, that they have a place, and that isn't with the finances.
Right. Looks like we have a call. Laura, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I was just, you guys were talking about my parents' marriage.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and gosh, you know, when, you know, they've been married over 50 years.
Yeah.
And so when, you know, we were growing up, there really was no help to speak of.
Right.
We were, my mom was a member of the Catholic Church, and my dad, you know, was not a believer, but she did go to the church
mm-hmm.
and ask for help,
mm-hmm.
and basically there was no help there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, there was hurt probably.
Pardon?
There was probably hurt there, which was what they just turned around and sent her back.
Right. More hurt.
Right.
More.
Now
yeah.
she's let down by God because, you know, she's not doing it right.
Right. And so anyway, of course, you know, she was pretty submissive, and that I inherited that tendency.
That's what I was.
And so I'm dealing with the fallout.
Right. Absolutely. Great point, Laura.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious. How did that affect you as you were growing up? What did you notice? How soon did you really notice this problem?
Well, probably not until I was into my adult years.
Wow. So you thought this was a normal situation, I suppose, huh? Or did you think there was something wrong? You just couldn't put your finger on it.
Well, we knew there was something wrong, but we couldn't talk about
it. It's taboo to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, my mom was controlled, and, you know, that's just the way it was. And, you know, we didn't really have a lot of interaction with other families, more or less isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my social skills suffered quite a bit. But I guess my self-image is very poor because
yep.
my father abused me emotionally.
Right. Absolutely. You're right on to something here, Laura, that both Christy and I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that happens to a kid who's in this situation is that you do end up with a belief that you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that shame of being in the presence of the abuse with your mom and dad gets on you. And so you have shame that tells you you're not bad because you did something wrong. You're bad because you exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not a conscious thought, but boy, it permeates everything you do and everything you say.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't begin to deal with it, I believe real strongly that the gospel is the answer to that dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
Is to be in a relationship whereby God reveals Himself to you and decimates that lie
mm-hmm.
that was imprinted on you
mm-hmm.
by your family. And again, without malice towards them, they were doing what they were doing. They got their own sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And castigating them is not going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But in the meantime, you know, there's very real ramifications of that. And I would say if you haven't talked to somebody who knows how to deal with this stuff, you need to, because you're going to need help walking through some of that stuff and getting it out of your system rather than it staying in there and contaminating.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, I'd be interested in knowing if you have brothers.
Yeah, I have three brothers.
And how did that impact them?
They got it worse than me.
Yeah, they were hurt more physically?
More, yeah, physically, emotionally. They've struggled their whole lives, you know, just with making a living and just, you know, dealing with life in general. So I was fortunate because my mom was a good role model.
Yes, you were. That's hugely important.
Yeah.
And this is the problem with this sort of abuse, is that the children are so impacted.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys do not have healthy role models to figure out who they are, mm-hmm. and how they're supposed to represent themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're not feeling good about themselves, then we just go into another generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that you recognize now what was going on. That will help your own children.
You can break the cycle for sure.
History does not have to repeat itself.
Amen to that.
Right.
Great, Laura. I appreciate your call. And and do you have another question?
No, that should do it.
Good. Thank you, Laura.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, so we while we're on with the phone with Laura there, we had another woman call in and ask a question, didn't want to be in the air, which we totally respect that. She had an issue where she was verbally abused by her father for years, and then her husband, who she was married to for a long time, was also verbally abusive. And the question was asked, how does that relate to drug and alcohol abuse? And I think that's a great question, because 20, you know, how many ever years of abuse that woman went through, is tremendous amounts of emotional pain is connected to that. And drug and alcohol abuse is a way that people cope with the emotional pain. So I can't get any relief because this person I'm with is not going to change. And I, having been brought up this way, believe it's what I'm supposed to do anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be abused. It's what I've been my whole life. So I can't change that. You know, if somebody treats me well, I feel uncomfortable. If you beat me up and talk to me bad, then I feel normal. But that has a lot of pain involved in it. So many, almost all addicts I've ever dealt with are drinking or using or whatever it is they're doing, gambling or pornography or sex or work or money or fame, you fill in the blank, are always trying to cover up or get away from pain that they don't know how to handle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, remember, all compulsion, you fill in the blank, anything you do compulsively, all compulsion is the result of a lack of peace. Being abused for decades will definitely interrupt your peace.
There is always going to be pain underneath that addiction, whatever it may be.
Right, absolutely. So in terms of the woman who wrote in, I hope that you'll understand that while it's not a beneficial response, drug and alcohol, it's a very normal response.
Absolutely.
And you can change that. I thoroughly am sitting, living proof that you don't have to remain in that condition. I was abused by my father. I was physically, verbally abused by my father as a kid. And I went into drugs early in life as a result of that at 10. And I sit here today as a testimony to God's initiative, not mine, to seek and save the lost. And God intervened in my life, and I don't know why, but he did. And I have siblings who he hasn't intervened on yet, and they are full-blown in their own addictions and killing themselves on the installment plan through that process. So, you know, it's very definitely real, and it's not something that you have to stay stuck in. You can recover from that, just like you can from this abuse. So before the callers, Chrissy, we were talking about what it might feel like or look like for a woman who's in an abusive situation that is not physical. So we talked about you feeling crazy. We talked about you being isolated. We talked about you being put down in public, you know, little sarcastic jabs, nothing ever encouraging. Those are things that you can look at. Let's talk for a minute, though, about physical abuse, because while it is not, in my view, the majority, it is certainly happening. So we're going to take a quick break. Get your questions ready. Call us at 776-5368. That's 776-5368. Locally, for those of you outside the area, you can give us a call at 1-800-373-5368. That's 1-800-373-5368. And if you're listening on the internet, give us a call, because I want to get an internet call. That's like a new thing. No, anyway, I'm just losing my mind there for a second. But we're going to talk about physical abuse and what does that look like and how do we intervene with that, because there's a lot of fear associated with that. We'll be back in just a minute.
Call now to be a part of Balance Point at 776-5368 or toll free 1-800-373-5368. That's 776-5368 or toll free 1-800-373-5368. There's more Balance Point coming up on The Dove.
In the news this morning, sheriff's deputies say a Grants Pass man has been arrested on a murder charge after stabbing another man during a drunken argument. Authorities have arrested 53-year-old Arthur Long at his home after he was accused of stabbing 21-year-old Paul Ernest Jr. with a kitchen knife. Ernest was found dead at Long's home. Jackson County health officials and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers officials say the toxic algae in Lost Creek Lake is still potentially hazardous to your health and advise people not to have any contact with the lake's water. Tests have identified the algae that releases neurotoxins that can cause skin rashes and dizziness and, in the rarest of cases, rapid death. It's most threatening to children and pets. Josephine County Police are looking for a man who robbed a Grants Pass bank Monday morning. Authorities say the suspect walked off with an undisclosed amount of cash before police arrived. The robber was unmasked and handed a teller a note demanding cash at the 6th Street location of Wells Fargo Bank. No weapon was used in that robbery. And Governor Kulongoski is asking the Korean government to consider buying helicopters built in Oregon. The governor's on an Asian trade mission this week and met with Korean forestry officials yesterday. He urged them to expand their fleet of Ericsson air crane helicopters built in Central Point and used for fighting wildfires. You're up to date. I'm Bill Jacobs on The Dove.
Thank you for supporting The Dove. Your help is appreciated and keeps us on the air. Some listeners do so through their businesses like Riverside Car and Truck on Crater Lake Highway. Riverside Car and Truck has a large selection of nearly new cars, trucks, 4x4s, and SUVs. Your support of The Dove is appreciated. And Lindell Cedar Homes, much more affordable than you might think. Featuring vaulted ceilings and beam construction made from Western Red Cedar and lots of glass. Independently distributed by Umpqua Cedar Homes in Roseburg. 800-823-3270. Thank you for your support of The Dove.
Hi, and welcome back to Balance Point. My name is Patrick Doyle, and I'm with you today. And I have a guest in the studio with me today, Chrissy Anderson. We're counselors, and we're today talking about abuse, spousal abuse. And we're taking your phone calls at 776-5368 or toll-free at 1-800-373-5368. We welcome your input. So we have a caller on the line now. Looks like Jana is there. Hi, Jana.
Good morning.
How
Love
are you?
Thank you guys for being there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to say hi to Chrissy.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you, Jana.
Patrick, you were talking about if a person is in an abusive situation where it's verbal and emotional abuse, is the best way, only way out? I mean, the only way to get the man healthy is to get out? Is that what I heard you say?
That's generally what I would say. Now, again, it's hard to be a blanket statement because I don't know all the details, but abusers are not going to listen to reason. As a rule, if they did, you'd be out of the situation because I'm sure you've reasoned with them.
And they wouldn't have been abusing.
So generally, there has to be some sort of consequence to the abuser for them to even consider changing. And I've been in part of many situations where we did actually separate the abuser and all he did was change his tactics. Because unless he repents... And when I mean repent, I mean the biblical understanding of repentance. He is convicted by God that his behavior is unacceptable, and then he seeks to change his behavior. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be perfect, but that repentance has fruit, according to the scriptures. And what I would want to see in that separation is the fruit of repentance. If the fruit of repentance is seen, then you can start to take some small risks to reconnect with that person. But if there's no fruit of repentance... No talky, no see, no touchy.
okay, Chrissy, you know the situation. Do you think that that's appropriate?
Well, first of all, I think we could point out that in some relationships, one person is saved and the other is not.
Correct.
And so that does complicate things. I believe that the beginning of making a change is intervention. And the best way would be to move away from the abuser.
Mm-hmm.
You have to intervene. You have to get their attention. Mm-hmm. And possibly this could be a way of really showing, let's see, your belief, your faith, your trust, and then allowing them to find their way.
Right.
Or not.
And remember, the goal of separation is not punishment.
Right.
The goal of separation is reconciliation.
Right.
But reconciliation will never take place without the truth being dealt with and the sin being confronted. And this is what I was saying early on. This is where churches can be absolutely, imperatively, gloriously used by God to help a situation where by which they can be the intermediary, where they help the woman find a place that's safe that the man doesn't know about. And I'll tell you this, you know the vast majority of people who break restraining orders are women. They get a restraining order against their husband in a crisis situation, and then the guilt and the shame and the control starts to talk in their head, and the next thing you know, he's sitting in the house.
Okay, I have a quick question then. I'm a single woman. I have room in my home.
Right.
And do I need any kind of help to know what to do to help somebody like that?
Absolutely. You do.
Okay.
You need to be walking hand in hand with whoever is in charge of their situation. Whatever therapist is walking them through it, you need to be involved in that, because what you don't want to do is be trapped into their
right.
unhealthy thinking. And you just need somebody to help you keep perspective. Because
I don't want to be an enabler.
Exactly. And it's real easy to fall into because, you know, the need is so obvious.
You also need to make sure that you are safe as well.
Right.
Oftentimes, people can be very volatile in the beginning of the intervention.
Right.
And it's important for the family and the people that are trying to help to remain safe.
Right. And remember, in a family scenario, the whole family is made sick. It's like, taking a toxic substance and putting it in the family. Everybody gets affected by it. So in a family system where there's been abuse, whether it be generational or just the current relationship, everybody gets sick by it. So everybody needs to be helped to get outside of that pathology or that sickness. And so it's a longer term process, but I'm here to tell you, I've seen situations where men and women are married today and have good intimacy. And I don't mean just physical. I mean, in a lot of ways, they're not going to be the couple sitting at the table like I think Laura mentioned earlier, her parents who've been married 50 years. I'll bet you they're the people that sit at the breakfast table at Elmer's and don't even look at each other.
With the newspaper between them.
Don't ever say a word to each other. I'm thinking, you've been married 50 years. At least reminisce, for God's sake. I mean, you could at least do that. Remember that time I beat you in the head with the frying pan? I mean, you could at least do that. But because there's no relationship, I'm joking. That was probably not a good joke to me. But my point is that if that's the case, how is that glorifying to God?
Right. Exactly. It's not.
It's not. Remember this. What is the main purpose of marriage?
Glorify God.
Amen. It's not to be happy. It's not to have kids. It's not to be wealthy.
Tested and a safe place for the Lord to stretch and test you.
Exactly. So, Jana, I would encourage you to continue to move forward and don't grow weary in well doing. And I appreciate your call.
And remember that He does restore lives.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm praying.
So are we.
That's where it starts.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jana.
All right. Bye.
Okay. So again. My name is Patrick Doyle, and I have Chrissy Anderson in the studio with me today, and we're talking about abuse, spousal abuse, and what can and should be the church's response. And if you'd like to get involved in the conversation, we have some time left. 776-5368 is the number, or toll-free 1-800-373-5368. 800-373-5368. So before we got onto that, we were going to talk about physical abuse, because it, although it's not what I see the most of, I have certainly seen it in Christian marriages, and I've been involved in situations where there's been horrific, in my opinion, physical abuse, and the church has said, "Ah, we'll handle it," and don't report. So let me just make this clear: if somebody has abused you physically, and you have a wound, a scar, a black eye, a visible evidence of that, call the police and make a report, because you're going to need that report in the future. And don't. The consequence to the abuser is as important as is your safety. And this is the thing that I think people miss. The abuser needs the consequence.
And I think it needs to be said again that abuse, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, is never okay. Bold,
right.
Underscored.
Yeah.
It
highlighted.
Is not okay. Highlighted.
Yeah.
And this is so damaging, not only to the person being abused, but to the children that are witnessing.
That's
it,
right.
And being role modeled.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
It's just incredibly important that you get help, that
right.
You intervene.
Let me tell you this story real quick. I know of a guy who was in treatment, and he was there because, you know, those little three-cylinder Ford Fiesta cars, they're like... they're like disposable cars, you know.
The Zippo lighters.
Yeah, the Zippo lighters with wheels. Well, this guy, he's in his late 50s. He's getting onto the freeway, and there's a bus coming down the freeway, and the bus didn't get over, and so he rammed the bus because the bus didn't get over. Now, you think about that for a second. That's not exactly what I would call a wise move.
Not brilliant.
Yeah, and so anyway, in treatment, the guy finally reveals after some time that, and this is to the point that, you know, children who are aware of their parents' abuse each other, one to another, doesn't affect them. So this guy talks about being 5 years old and hiding under the kitchen table while his dad beat his mom. And he says, "I made a promise to myself when I was 5 years old that I would never let anybody push me around." So 50 plus years later, this guy is ramming a bus with a little bitty car. Now you tell me that event when he was 5 is not impacting him today. It absolutely is. He didn't know it. He didn't make the connection until later. And when he did, it was like the light went on. He's like, "Man, that explains a lot of stuff in my life." You know, because that idea that nobody's going to push him around got him in so much trouble. It impacted his life in such a negative way. And he worked through it and recognized that, you know, he didn't have to do that. When he was 5, yeah, it was necessary for survival.
When he was 5, he was powerless. He could do
that's
nothing
right.
about it.
And so don't think that the abuse going on in your marriage doesn't impact your children. It absolutely does. And I don't say that as a guilt thing. I say that as a warning. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. This is important. You have to deal with it. Seek out some place that's safe. And I underscore that word safe, and get this on the table. None of this changes in secret.
Also, I think just by pointing out the fact that it impacts the whole family, all the siblings, helps empower the woman, usually a woman,
right.
to do what's right, because there's nothing more committed than a mother.
That's right.
And that will help her get the courage that she didn't have herself
right.
to change the situation.
That's right. So I wanted to touch on physical abuse, Chrissy.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in a lot of different forms. But one of the things that you talked about earlier off air that I think is really important is a lot of what we see where the abuse takes place most often in many marriages is sexually.
Yes.
Talk about that for a sec.
Well, it happens in the bedroom, and it's something that it's all about power and control.
Mm.
And it's not about something shared and intimate. It's something brutal and repeated
uh-huh.
and they want to make sure that the woman is totally submissive. And oftentimes women just feel it's their duty.
That's right.
And they don't understand that this is another form of abuse.
Right. And who are you going to talk to about that?
Exactly.
So it's another reason why you can stay so strung out on it, because, you know, who are you going to tell that I think my husband's taking advantage of me? Well, your husband can't take advantage of you. He's your husband. But he can. So it looks like we have another caller online. Janet, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. What's your question?
Well, I just want to agree with you for the audience.
Okay, good.
Listening about not keeping... mine was a verbal abuse.
Uh-huh.
And I stayed in it because I thought I was supposed to, and I did for 13 years. And my advice to the women out there is to don't put it off, because the longer you do, it influences the son. And now my sons treat me like that. They're in their 40s, but and they treat their wives like that.
Right.
They're mimicking their father.
That's what
Absolutely.
Kids do. That's right.
Yeah.
And unless you intervene, Janet, like you're talking about, that's what's by nature going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's how abuse continues. That's a very helpful comment, Janet. I really appreciate you risking that and saying that.
Yeah, I lived it, I know it, and it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I regret staying together that long. Mm-hmm. I should have left when the kids were real young.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so painful.
Yeah.
Well, what's painful now is to have my son talk to me like his father used to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And now I can't hang around him because
right.
I won't tolerate it.
Right.
I think he's sinning. He's
right.
supposed to honor
That's right.
his father.
And so the loss continues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, don't give up, Janet. I mean, God can snap a heart in a second.
Thanks.
And God can reveal to a person their sin and bring about conviction and contriteness. You know, I'm living proof. It can happen.
Great. I appreciate letting me call in because
sure.
I want to help other people too.
Good.
So God bless you.
Thank you, Janet.
Uh-huh.
Bye. Bye. So, you know, there's another example of, you know, this stuff is painful and it's long term and the damage is big. And if you read the scriptures, you will find that God confronts abuse many times. I think of Isaiah 58, the passage about fasting, you know, and God says, you know, you think this is the kind of fast I'm after, where you're, you know, flaunting you're flaunting humility, and you're making profit, and you're driving your workers too hard, and you're being unjust? No, that's not what I'm after. I'm after a fast that breaks the chains of injustice, that frees the oppressed. You know, God is not about oppression. If you're a husband and you're oppressive, you're outside of what God designed it to be. We are to be a covering, a nurturing, loving, spiritual covering. The reason that you're going to be that is not because you're going to fake it. You're going to be that, men, because you have your own intimate relationship with God. Otherwise, you will naturally fall into a self-centered pattern. It's what we do as people. It's not, you know, pathological per se. It's natural. We as humans are going to be selfish. David said, I am conceived in sin. Jeremiah says, the heart is exceedingly wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? Paul said, there's none that does good, no, not run one. All have sought to go their own way. It's only by God's intervention and that intimacy with Him that you as a man will have the power to deal with these situations. Because I'm telling you, here's the other side of this. There's a lot of men who know what I'm talking about and are convicted and feel trapped. But they don't have anywhere to go either. They don't know who to talk to because they don't know who to expose themselves to and say, you know what, I'm an abuser. I can think of one situation in my entire career where a guy like came to me and said, I think I'm abusive.
And I can't say that I have that.
99% of the time, it's somebody confronting them. So as a brother to other brothers, if I see my brother doing it to his wife, I'm going to say something. I'm going to risk it. Because it's important. Not important because I want to be a do-gooder. It's important in the kingdom of God. It's important to His spiritual health. I don't believe you can be an abuser of your wife and have an intimacy with God. Sorry. You just like you can't be having an affair with somebody ongoing and having an intimacy with God. It's not going to work. That's another way women get abused.
Totally.
Is men having affairs. So this is not a down on men thing. This is a dude, let us look God in the eye and deal with our sin. This only benefits our wives and our children and our communities and our culture. If we continue to stick our head in the sand, now I'm talking to the church, we've got to call this out. We've got to get on the table with this. We can't live in the dark. We've got to get it on the table. So if you're out there and you're a pastor and you're concerned about this and you feel overwhelmed and you get kind of cross-eyed when you think about all this stuff, call me. Set up a meeting. Let's talk about it. Let me help you. I've walked thousands of people through this over the years. It can be done. And all you got to do is set up a few guidelines. You know, get yourself educated and then start walking. And this can be, again, an overwhelmingly real way that God reveals the gospel to the world as we deal with and confront this sin of self-centeredness and abuse. And I hope and pray that in the days to come, we will continue to reach out to those who are in these situations, whether the abused or the abuser, and we will bring about the glory of God through our humble actions. And so, Christy, thank you for being with me. If you want to get in touch with Christy, you can call her at
659-4436.
You got to choose which number to call her at. And thanks for listening. And again, I'll be back next week for an hour from 8 to 9, and I look forward to hearing from you then.